Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. So, you know, there's really nothing romantic about the month of February. It's cold, it's dreary, it's one of the shortest months on the calendar. Oh, it is the shortest month, I believe. And somehow smack in the middle of this dreary month is this holiday to celebrate love, Valentine's Day. And my absolute favorite thing that cartoonist Charles Schulz ever said, and I use it all the time, all you need is love, but a little chocolate now and then doesn't hurt. Really, it's so true. I'm sure everybody agrees. So the funny thing about this holiday, Valentine's Day, is that it's really a huge business situation. And we're going to talk about some of the numbers. It's a Wellness Wednesday, and life coach Jen Nocera is with me today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the history of Valentine's Day. And we're going to share some interesting numbers because it's really about the business of chocolate. But first, before we even get into that, let's say hi to Jen. How you doing there?
Hi, Andrea. Hi, everybody.
Well, thanks for being with me.
My pleasure.
And Jen, I think we have an update to share with our listeners from a previous show. So, Jen, I'm going to let you have the honor of sharing that update.
Well, yes. Sadly or gladly,
or
Charles Manson, marriage did not go through. His opportunity to get married to his 26-year-old girlfriend has expired. The marriage license that they had applied for expired. However, she claims to still be pursuing the marriage. So we can only speculate what happened in prison. Maybe he got in trouble or whatever. But so as of today, he's not married. And hopefully this young girl comes to her senses.
Oh, I don't think there's any chance of that happening, Jen. You know,
it's been nine years.
I saw another little thing.
Yeah.
Again, she claims that he's absolutely innocent. He had nothing to do with anything, and he needs to be released. And one of her compelling reasons in her mind why she wants to marry this delightful guy is because as a spouse, she would have privilege to – she'd be privy to some information that she couldn't have as a non-spouse.
Right, to help prove his innocence.
Yeah, to prove his innocence. Yeah, good one.
Right.
So anyway, that's the update on Charles Manson. We'll keep you posted. You know how I feel. I always was hoping I'd get invited to the wedding. Thought I might be able to photograph it, but it's not happening.
Well, better you than me. No thanks.
Well, you know. I'm not much of a wedding photographer, but that
stuff
would be... I've never photographed, you know, as a photographer, you always want to stretch yourself, and I've never photographed anything in prison, so that could be interesting. But anyway, let's not digress too much to Charles Manson, because it is February, the month of love, the month of Valentine's Day, and, you know, we had compiled some really amazing statistics when we were looking at this to share with everyone today. And just in anticipation of this holiday, consumers spend about $18.6 billion.
Outrageous.
It's very hard for me to really wrap my brain around that number. And, of course, you know, flowers, candy, greeting cards, et cetera. It's really a lot of money. That's all I can say. $2 billion on candy and about 224 million red roses and God knows what other kinds of things people are buying. But that's a lot of money for a holiday. Interestingly enough, February 14th is Valentine's Day throughout the world, but other cultures don't take it to the degree that we do in the U.S., which I thought was a little bit interesting as well. But, you know, I guess we are the nation of excess.
Yes, consumerism.
If anyone's going to go over the top, it's going to be us. Yeah.
Right, especially when there's candy involved.
That
number is really something, especially in light of, you know, we've had a recession for several years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's even more mind-boggling that we'd spend that much money.
Well, one of the things, and totally that's true, you know, a lot of things are affected by the recession, bad economy, et cetera. But in my reading, was it the, the retail, Consumer Retail Association, I'm probably not saying it right, that Valentine's Day has really held steady in the numbers as far as candy, roses, and the associated goodies that go with the holiday. It has not; they haven't really seen things diminish per the recession like we have in other areas. So I guess we just like this stuff. But let's look at some of these numbers because you know they really are kind of mind-boggling. And I'm trying to figure out where do I fit into all this stuff. I don't fit in anywhere, actually. But let me just share with everyone, you know, a little personal anecdote for Valentine's Day, which was always for me a holiday that I absolutely loved. I still love it. It's a wonderful holiday. But I was with someone for a long time, and the anniversary of his divorce was February 14th. So let's just say it really made the holiday a little less special for me. I think it would be fair to say it had different meanings for both of us. So anyway, enough about that. Just had to share. So anyway, Jen.
Yeah, unfortunate date.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the luck of the draw. So let's talk about some of these numbers. First of all, the first one right off the bat was $130.97. And according to, these are very recent numbers, actually. These numbers come from just 2013 statistics, so this is very recent. $130.97 is what the average person spends on Valentine's Day. So for a couple, I guess we could double that. I mean, that's an average number. I mean, right there, that's a big chunk of money.
Right, for one day.
Yeah, for one day, yeah. And so let's talk about some of the other numbers. What really drove you a little bit crazy here when you looked at these?
The poor pets, only about $5 is spent on each pet. That was, you know, they're part of the family.
I know. I can honestly say I never bought my dog a Valentine's Day gift. Never did.
I probably did. I don't know that I would have spent much more than that, but I probably did. they become part of the family, mm-hmm. which, you know, I think that does say something about the holiday because, as I was reading, they were saying that about 50% of the cards and gifts aren't for significant others. They're for family and friends.
Yeah. It's not just about a significant other. A lot of times, and I've certainly done this too, sent my good friends cards, sent my nephews, sent, you know, family funny cards. You know, it's something that we like to do. And here's something, I guess, a very modern part, something that makes Valentine's wishes very modern, that about 30% of people will send a romantic text message rather than by a card. You can send your I love you via text. Probably a cute little icon would be in order. I'm thinking a little heart, a little angel, right? We could do, you know, something
right.
Like
I think that's nice, but probably not enough for some people.
I know, but for some people.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like that can set people up, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if that's all I got from my heart's desire, I wouldn't. Well, you would no longer be my heart's desire. I guess that's what I would say.
Right, which is another point that, I think people can get carried away with the expectations for this holiday. So I think
exactly.
Right, so it could cause breakups.
Yeah, now it's right. Expectations, I think, are the root of all evils for most people, actually. In fact, there was a statistic here that said, I don't know exactly where this number comes from, Jen, but it said there are about 6 million people who are extinct or are planning a marriage proposal based around Valentine's Day.
Right.
Well, talk about expectations.
A lot of pressure.
I hope they get it. Yeah, that's I know. I feel their pressure right now. That's really something. Yeah, that is a lot of pressure. Now, interestingly enough, March 14th in South Korea and Japan, that's the day that men give women romantic gifts in South Korea and Japan. I thought that was interesting. And women typically give men chocolate on Valentine's Day in South Korea and Japan.
Yeah, I didn't think that that was fair.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, that's
I'm glad I don't live there.
Yeah, I know. It's like opposite day, you know, opposite world.
Right, bizarre world.
bizarre world is right. Now, $1.6 billion is about what we're spending on candy for Valentine's Day.
Right.
So that's a lot of M&Ms. That's a lot of chocolate. Now, speaking of chocolate, I have to mention something to everyone who's listening, because I don't remember when this was, but I will put a link on my blog. But several months ago, I interviewed, first name is Jared. I'm sorry, Jared, I can't remember your last name, but I'll find it. He had a product called Hot, H-O-T-T, Hot Chocolates. And these were, Jared's product was aphrodisiac truffles. Most unusual. The packaging is like to die for. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's red and black. And I think it's hotchocolates.com. Again, it's H-O-T-T. So he has, his chocolates are filled with all kinds of herbs that he's got a women's formula and a men's formula guaranteed to get your libido stirred for Valentine's Day or any other day. So it's a very interesting product. It has a very earthy taste to it, very unusual. But again, I'll put a link on my blog in case anybody wants to reach out to Jared and do some shopping that way. So it's pretty cool stuff. I always save the box. I personally, and Jared knows this, I told him, to me it was very earthy. I didn't really care for the taste of chocolate. It's not like a sweet chocolate. It's something very different. But anyway, hot chocolate.
Yeah. Well, so how could it be bad? There's chocolate involved, right?
Well, that's the thing. How could it be bad? You know, I've done chocolate tastings for like 5 years, and as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing bad about chocolate, really. It's just too good, too good. And you know what? And speaking of this whole thing, let me give for our listeners, before we get into anything else, just a little bit of history of Valentine's Day and how some of these things came about. Because it really is kind of, you know, it's interesting, actually, at least it is to me. And it's probably some things that we wouldn't necessarily know about. So a little bit of history. You know, typically for a lot of us, we would celebrate our Valentine's Day giving a box of chocolate. And the roots of Valentine's Day go way back to Roman times, but candy giving is definitely a much more recent development. And, of course, a lot of us would say, well, chocolate is known to be an aphrodisiac. Well, I won't, you know, say yay or nay on that one. I just know it's delicious and, you know, we like it. But now, the first mention of Valentine's Day as a romantic holiday actually appeared in the writings of Geoffrey Chaucer, and that was in 1382. So that's a very long time. And this is during the medieval period, and during this time, there was a focus on illicit but chaste and courtly love, very different than it is now. And this is where we started to see some of the familiar icons like hearts and little cupids and that sort of thing. And during this time, knights would typically give roses to their maidens and celebrate their beauty and songs, that kind of thing. But sugar at this time is a very precious commodity in Europe. So we were not exchanging any kind of candy at that time. Sugar was way too expensive. Now, in the 1840s, the notion of Valentine's Day as a holiday to celebrate romantic love pretty much took over the whole English-speaking world. This was sort of the golden age for Cupid. You know, this was the Victorian time. And the Victorians loved the notion of courtly love, and they gave each other all kinds of elaborate cards and gifts. They were very much into that. Now, coincidentally, during this time, you know the name Cadbury, as in Cadbury chocolates. Everybody knows Cadbury. Mm. The Cadbury egg for Easter. They should make a Cadbury heart for Valentine's. Well, they have, of course they do. But anyway, Richard Cadbury, he was the son of one of the guys from, you know, the chocolate manufacturer. He's from England. And he was actually responsible for sales in his, you know, at this point in time. Now, chocolate has a long history of how it was made. And, you know, back in the day, it was more of something that people drank. It wasn't like the chocolate that we're used to now. It was really something that people were drinking. So I think a lot of people might not realize that. More like a hot chocolate, but not sweetened. So
right.
It was really very, really very bitter, you know? Anyway, he devised a technique that he was able to extract more of the cocoa butter from the whole beans, and his chocolate, his drinking chocolate, was much more delicious. Now, during this time, because he created this process and he had all this extra cocoa butter, Cadbury actually used that to produce more varieties of what they called at the time eating chocolate, as opposed to drinking chocolate. So this was more the kind of chocolate that we would be used to, eating chocolate. And he saw this as a great opportunity. It was a marketing opportunity, really. And he started selling this eating chocolate in these beautifully decorated heart-shaped boxes. And here's the thing. He actually was the designer of these boxes. So this is kind of starting to sound very familiar, but this is the beginning of having chocolates in that heart-shaped box. So naturally, what happened from that point is that all of those familiar images of cupids and roses and, you know, all that kind of stuff that we're used to seeing on the heart-shaped boxes, that's where all that started happening. So Richard Cadbury, he didn't patent this, but it is widely believed that he was the first one to actually produce it. And interestingly enough, he marketed these gorgeous boxes as having dual purpose. First, they would hold your chocolate, and then, of course, you would finish the chocolate, and you would have this exquisite box. And what the idea was, once you had the box, you would save it, and you would use it for keepsakes or something, you know, other kinds of mementos. And that's really the origin of a Valentine's box, you know, Valentine heart-shaped boxes. And I think that's kind of a neat thing, that they do go back to the Victorian era. And what I'm going to do, just as I'm talking to you right now, Jen, I'm thinking, I wonder if you'd ever find any of those on eBay. I bet some people still have some of those. They must be highly collectible if you could ever get your hands on one of those.
Yeah, it has to be. Unless there's some in
a
museum somewhere.
Yeah, but they must have been absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous. And the fact that he designed it by hand. So that's an interesting little piece of history about Valentine's Day. But now, let's go back. We also uncovered 8 companies specifically that love Valentine's Day. And when you hear what the 8 companies are, you will totally understand why. So, Jen, I'll let you start.
It's got to be Hallmark, right?
Well, Hallmark, American Greetings, yeah.
American Greetings, yeah.
Yeah,
145 million cards sent around the world, second only to Christmas.
Yeah, second. Yeah, how do you like that? I know that's a lot of cards.
Which I think I may have suspected Mother's and Father's Day would have been higher, but I guess it makes sense. 1-800 flowers.
Naturally.
Right, they love this holiday. Hershey's, Tiffany's, which we would expect, right, for engagement rings and diamonds.
And, yeah, you know, let me just say, going back to Hershey, I'm thinking, even though that they just looked at Hershey as one of the big ones, you know, and, of course, they put their a lot of their candies into little heart-shaped boxes as well. But it's not just Hershey's, of course. It's anybody who's making candy is in love with this holiday, naturally. Yeah. Tiffany's, yes, okay.
Right.
Yes, all their good stuff.
Limited Brand, which owns Victoria's Secret, as well as Bath and Body Works, which both do well at this time of year.
No surprise.
Nope. Church and Dwight Company, which makes Arm & Hammer, but also Trojan condoms. They say that condom sales are at their highest on Valentine's Day.
Now, I just have to stop you right there. Because that totally does surprise me. It really does. I mean, I guess, well, I said to you before, I guess it's good to know people are having safe sex. And Trojan,
yes.
you know, is the number one brand of condom suppliers in the U.S., you know, another little statistic for us to take in. But I'm wondering, and I don't know, if they're making any special Valentine's condoms, you know, red ones, interesting ones, little hearts on them. That would be something for us and our listening audience to check out. And if anyone finds out, please let me know.
I'm sure there's something to accommodate that request.
I'm sure. I'm just doing research, Jen. You know that.
We have to know.
Just research. Yeah, I'd like to know.
And then
so
the other two, one, go ahead, what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, there's two more.
I was going to say the other one was Interactive Corp, which has online dating sites like OkCupid and Match.com. And then the last one was Blooming Brands, which owns Bonefish Grill and other restaurants.
So I guess
so. Obviously, restaurants do very well at this time of year.
But one other thing that I want to mention is that over here, where it's for Interactive Corp, which owns Match.com and OkCupid, those are two very, very large online dating sites. And they say that the period between New Year's and Valentine's Day is their busiest time on these sites all year long. I guess starting with the New Year, everyone is searching for their new love, so they'll have someone for Valentine's Day to ply with chocolate and cards and flowers. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, that makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. I'm good with that. I sort of get that. So actually, speaking of chocolate cards and flowers and all that, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the symbols of Valentine's Day, like chocolate, roses, that sort of thing. Now, of course, we've talked about chocolate. We know, you know, it might have started out the idea that it's an aphrodisiac. I'm not 100% sure if I totally agree with that. But people would say that, it has an endorphin, which I frankly can never pronounce, but levels of which in the brain are linked to people falling in love. So it's been used as a gift since the time of the Aztecs. You know, chocolate's been around for a very, very long time. And wait a second. We have, oh, my God, let me find it because we have to read this. This is like my favorite chocolate thing here. Where is it, Jen? You know, the one about for his harem. All right, I remember it.
Montezuma.
Yeah. Montezuma, it is said, again, we can't confirm it because he's long gone, but that he used to eat chocolate every day so he would be vital and strong so he could better service his harem. Okay.
More
so
virile, I think it's a...
Be more virile. Yes, let's be specific.
And
to better service his harem.
Yes. The Aztecs believed that chocolate was a source of spiritual wisdom and energy.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, the happier you are, the better energy you have.
The Aztecs cannot be wrong. After all, they kind of invented this stuff. You know, that's kind of where it came from. But I don't know if how virile it acts. Well, I think if you're looking for being virile, let's go back to the hot chocolate from my friend Jared.
Right.
That's the stuff you might want to. I mean, eating a Hershey bar is not going to cut it, folks. You know, I think we have to be a little more specific. Now, roses, some people would say it's like Black Friday for florists on February 14th, because that is obviously, the big day for flowers. And so just
except
something interesting.
Except the prices are higher.
Well, yeah, but that's a detail, let's see. The red rose was believed to be the favored flower of Venus, the Roman goddess of love, and so came to represent romantic love. So giving red rose, specifically red roses on Valentine's Day, that is the thing to do. So white roses aren't going to do it. Yellow roses aren't going to do it. For Valentine's Day, it has to be red. Red is kind of like the color of love, especially for Valentine's Day. Yeah. So chocolate, roses, and then, of course, cards. Yeah. That's written Valentine's cards actually started appearing after 1400, and this kind of coincides with the invention of the printing press, which clearly made all of that very possible. So they've been around for a very long time as well. So actually, the last two, Jen, you talk about those.
Well, we sort of touched upon the pink, red, and white. So red is a symbol of romance and passion. It's also the color of the heart. White symbolizes purity. And pink went back to St. Valentine. It said that they planted a pink almond tree next to his grave when he was buried that blossomed. So
again, we can't confirm.
Yeah, there are a few different legends surrounding Valentine's. And then Cupid, who was the Roman god of love and the son of Venus, who was the goddess of love.
Yeah, so those are the main symbols of the holiday, and they have been for a very, very long time. They really have. I think also, you know, going back to writing out your Valentine's, in 1797, there was a book published, and it was called The Young Man's Valentine Writer. And this contained all kinds of sentimental verses. In case you were not feeling clever and you could not compose your own verse, so you could just borrow some, you know, some verse right out of his book. I thought that was kind of interesting too. You know, this is, I mean, there were cards, but there were limited cards, and you know, there were verses and whatnot. But it was, of course, always much nicer to write your own stuff.
Right.
And also,
sort of like
during this time, like Christmas, exactly. But what I saw was interesting, too, is that during this time, well, before this, it was very expensive for people to mail letters, to mail anything. And there had been a reduction in postal rates, which really enabled people to feel a little bit better about now suddenly mailing their Valentine. And when you could mail it, you could make it anonymous. And once you made it anonymous, that was kind of the, you know, remember, this was during the Victorian era, which when people were very prudish. And so once you could make your Valentine's card anonymous, that's when we started seeing racy, you know, sexy kinds of stuff that people were writing about. But they kept it anonymous, which we wouldn't do now. We would just text it or we would sext it, you know. Things have really changed a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah. Things are changed.
Things have definitely changed. And even in the U.S., we didn't start mass producing Valentine's Day till around about 1847. A lot of these conventions with Valentine's Day, even though the legends go back a very long time, cards and candy and that sort of thing is really a relatively recent convention. Of course, chocolate's been around for a very long time, and we can only cross our fingers it will always be available to us, because a world without chocolate is kind of a sad world. It really is. And you know, I have this quote that I just have to read. And if you're a Star Trek fan, this was said by Deanna Troi in The Next Generation. And she said in one of the episodes, "I never met a chocolate I didn't like." And I totally understand. Totally. Absolutely. So we are just about out of time. And I'm definitely going to put up my blog shortly. I will put a link to Hot Chocolates if you want to do some shopping with my friend Jared. I appreciate that everyone was listening today. It's Valentine's month. It is the month of love. And all kidding aside, hug everyone you know and love, because they're not around forever. And Jen, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you
much
for having me.
Happy Valentine's to you. Okay, can 30 minutes change your life? Listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Till next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Thanks for listening. Bye, Jen.
Bye. Bye, everybody.